You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 62. We have a guest today. We have Carolyn, who brings her dream for interpretation. And this is, I'm laughing because it's a very, very short dream. And between Carolyn and I, we worked quite hard in the first few minutes to really start to get some leads on the dream. And I think you're going to enjoy this. There's times when you sit there and think, are these two going to get there? Are they going to get there? And when the breakthrough comes, you'll realize that we were onto it from the very beginning. It just took quite a bit of time to get there, particularly when Carolyn offers one quite startling piece of extra information about one of the symbols. So hang in there for that. It's really worth the listen. And I also have to tell you that, you know, I've just finished recording the conversation with Carolyn and had a little chat with her off air afterwards. And she said, oh, I've just remembered something else. Could you put this on as a PS? So there's a really key PS that when you've listened to Carolyn and I talking about a dream and doing the alchemy and everything and coming to the end, I'll add the PS, the extra insight that or information that Carolyn supplied there. Now, there's another dimension to today's podcast, and it's this, that I've had a question put in by Tanya, and I'm going to tell you what the question is. And when we finish with Carolyn and we've done her PS at the end, I'm going to give the answer to Tanya's question. So I'll just give you Tanya's question now so that you know what we're going to be coming to. And Tanya's question was, although people in our dreams represent parts of ourselves, can they also represent themselves in real life? And she has put that into context and talked to me a little bit about a dream and why she's asking that question. So, when we've done with Carolyn, I'll be repeating Tanya's question and giving an answer to that. And it's a great question because it's one that a lot of people ask, and it's probably one that's occurred to you from time to time as well. So without further ado, let's pop over and here's Carolyn. Welcome to The Dream Show, Carolyn. How are you?
Very good, thanks, Jane Theresa.
And as always, I have no idea what you're bringing onto the show. What have you got for me?
Jane, I dreamt this dream about last week. It was on the 15th of June. I dreamt that there was this old man in a caravan and he turns up in my driveway and I'm hand-signaling him, like saying, no, you can't come here. And I just keep saying, you know, like, no, you can't come. And he starts to go, but then they stop. And then, like, these two black men, they were really unusual looking. They came and grabbed me by the hands. And I thought, I just can't struggle because if I struggle, you know, it's like they were overpowering me and I thought they were going to rape me.
Was that the end of the dream?
Yeah.
And how did you feel when you woke up?
I thought, I wonder what that's about.
Sorry?
I thought, I wonder what that's about.
Oh, so you were quite objective about it.
Yeah. I was a bit sort of like, well, that was a bit scary. I thought, oh, I wonder what that's about.
When you say the two black men were quite unusual, in what way were they unusual?
Their face. I could see their faces. They were like, I don't know how to describe them.
What kind of...
I described it in my journal as like a sort of a mix between Mexican, Asian, sort of, they were dark. They were like, it was just really unusual. And they grabbed me by the hands and I thought, they would just overpower me, you know. I wasn't strong enough to fight off two men and they had me by the hands.
Yeah, it's
and I was waving the caravan. I didn't want the caravan to come in. I was saying no, you know. I thought there's something going on with my hands.
So first of all, you're using your hands to wave away the caravan, and then did the caravan actually go away, or were you still?
Well, the old man was in the caravan. He like had a beard. He was like the little old man, and I sort of wasn't real keen on him. He turned around and he was starting to go, but then he stopped, and the two black men came and like just grabbed me by the hand.
Right, so if you've got you're standing there and you can see the caravan kind of backing away but then stopping, So it's kind of in front of you. Where did the two black men come from?
They just appeared, like, in front of the caravan.
In front of the caravan. So they ended up...
Yeah, they might have come from the caravan.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
But they were just there all of a sudden. Like, I didn't see them when he came in.
Mm. And no thinking at all, Carolyn. Just a very quick answer to this question. How old was the man in the caravan?
Oh, he was really old.
And he was...
Oh, 70, 80.
70 to 80. And the two Mexican men, how old were they?
Oh, I don't know. Sort of, because they weren't sort of human, almost. They were like, I don't know, maybe 30?
Maybe 30. And were they like twins? Did they both seem to be the same?
I saw the one on the right first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the other one. I don't remember seeing the other one's face.
All right, so you only saw the face of the one on the right.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And they seem to be a bit Mexican and a bit Asian.
Yeah, for want of a better description or, you know, something, I don't know.
Yeah, but also not
something
too...
very unusual.
Very unusual.
Yeah.
Okay. So in three quick, short, sharp words, what's the personality of a Mexican?
Aztec? I don't know. Personality of a Mexican?
Yeah.
I think of people from Melbourne, but that's a bit of an Australian colloquialism, isn't it? they're Mexican, you know, people from Melbourne.
No, okay, that's fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I don't know. I don't know much about Mexican.
But they came into your dream, so you have a gut feel for them. We've got you've got Aztec.
Sorry.
You've got Aztec, which is an ancient civilization, absolutely. And you've got Melbourne, which is a very brand new civilization.
Yeah, true. And I don't know, beans or chili or something.
And chili, so beans, the food. Okay, which is an ancient crop. As well, it's something quite ancient there. And you said, partly Mexican, partly Asian.
Yeah.
So, what quick three words would you generally use to describe the Asian kind of personality?
Lots of them.
Lots, yeah.
Yeah. Intelligent.
Yeah.
Ancient.
And ancient again.
Yeah.
You know. You know, this technique that I'm using now, and a lot of people who've been listening to a lot of the podcast shows will know this one. It's when you take a person from a dream, whether it's an unknown person like yours, Carolyn's, or whether it's someone you know that appears in your dream, you know, and I always say, pick three words to describe the personality or approach to life of this person. And usually the person goes, oh, yeah, it's so-and-so, such-and-such. And then there's a bit of a pause where they think of the third thing, then the third thing comes out. Now, it nearly always is the case that the third thing that someone mentions is the key. It's the main thing. It's almost like you reel the first two things off because you know those, and then this third thing is kind of dragged up out of the unconscious, not really wanting to be said, but I suppose I better say this third thing now, you know.
Yeah, attached to the other two.
Yeah, that's right. And for the Asian, the last thing you said was ancient, and we brought that up kind of, you know, with the chili beans and the Aztec with the Mexican as well. So we've kind of got something ancient here.
Yeah.
And ancient in our own dreams usually means with respect to our own lives. So ancient in your dream means, probably as ancient as around about your first few months of life or your first few years of life.
Yeah.
You know, I once interpreted a dream for a man on radio a long time ago. And I think that was a Melbourne radio station, actually. You know, you mentioned Melbourne. And he had this dream and he was absolutely fascinated by it. And I'm can see why, because he had found an ancient geological object. And he knew in the dream that it was, I think it was 570,000 years old or 570 million years old or something really ancient, but it was like 570 million. And the dream was absolutely fascinating. And he kept talking about this ancient thing. And I was listening to him and putting other things together in the dream. And then I said to him, so are you 57? He said, yeah, how did you know that? So because this thing was so ancient that it had to be as ancient as you, because in our dreaming minds, the most ancient thing that ever happened to us is, round about when we were born. Yeah. And often also when you look at dreams where there are sometimes black people, sometimes more often the person will say an indigenous person in a dream. And when that person doesn't have an Indigenous history themselves, it's amazing how often that Indigenous person in a dream also represents an Indigenous belief within yourself, you know, something that goes way back to the very beginnings of your time.
Yeah.
I only did a private consultation last week with someone that had Indigenous people, and that, you know, was nail on the head to her.
Yeah, like Indigenous Australians, were they? They weren't native to here, because I know what they look like. But these were, they weren't even Indigenous, you know, I couldn't call them an Indigenous Mexican or Asian, or it was just a very unusual face, and, like a drawer, I don't know what you'd call it.
But they were ancient, you see. So they go back to your ancient times, your ancient roots around about when you were born. So we're going to, anyway, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
And they were unusual, not quite human. So I'm not saying that you're not quite human, but I'm saying you're probably a very unusual person, Carolyn. Now, the other aspect of having dark people in your dream, people who maybe either not easy to see or are dark-skinned, is that they can represent things about yourself that are not easy to see, things that you're a bit in the dark about, you know, things that we sometimes call our shadow self, you know, the bit that we hide away.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking all around that. And because you had the feeling that they're maybe around 30, maybe around 30 years old, they may relate to when you were 30, or they may relate to 30 years old ago, as well as something that's pretty ancient within you. Okay. So while we're doing the next part of this interpretation, just think back to when you were 30.
Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah. And now 30 years ago. And just keep those two times in your mind. Now, we're going to go back to the caravan at the moment, because here's a man who's about 70 or 80 driving the caravan. I know, because I can tell by your voice that you're not 70 or 80. Mm. and what he may represent is 1970 to 1980. Now, did either of those times when you were 30 or 30 years ago correspond to 1970 to 1980?
I'd probably have to think about that, perhaps.
Yeah. So, well, we're now, it's 2010, so actually I can tell you that 30 years ago was 1980.
It was.
Yeah. So I can do that part of the calculation.
Thanks.
So we're also looking at 1980 here. Now, was it a new caravan, an old caravan? What kind of caravan was it?
It was a pretty old one.
And if that
not particularly big.
And did it have a feeling? Did it have a you know how different cars have personalities in our mind's eye?
Yeah.
What kind of personality did that?
Oh, I suppose it'd probably be 70s.
70s personality.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he was driving an old Holden. I don't know. I don't even know what sort of car. Actually, no. I think it was older. Like, you know, those old like FJs. A bit older. You know, those bubbly old things?
So more bubbly, yeah.
Or a mini, you know, those mini miners, but I don't know what they're called. Yeah, it was maybe one of them.
So what kind of personality would that kind of car or caravan have?
We have a thing, it was the grey nomads. They all come up, we have the grey nomads coming up as like a grey nomad.
Now, I know what a grey nomad is because I'm Australian, but I don't know whether it's a common...
No, there's other people probably thinking it's a grey nomad.
Would you like to explain that term to all our other listeners?
In this time of year, the southern winter, well, I'm in the north of Australia, so all the retirees and all the people down south attach their caravans to their cars and all come up here, and they're everywhere.
And they call them the grey
nomads. That's grey nomads, yeah, because they're retired people.
Yeah.
And they all get around and they're everywhere.
And why don't you like this, Carolyn?
Oh, no, I don't mind. I quite like them. But this one, like, he was by himself. It was just a man by himself. He didn't have his wife or anything. He was just a bit by himself.
Okay, so in the dream
he could have been a grey nomad, but I'm glad we've got sealed roads now, because I don't think the caravan would have done the trip in the old days.
so he in the dream, it may be that he represents some kind of grey nomad. In other words, some kind of, when I retire, I might take up my roots and I might do something else. So he may represent retiring, finishing something off, finishing a job. Okay. And he may also represent something around the 1970s or 1980s. Did you finish a job or finish something around that time? Or did you sort of...
I might have finished school, Yeah, I did.
So did you, in a sense, pick up your roots and start moving around at that age?
Well, I started working.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah, I did move out. But not in a caravan.
No. So he may represent something to do with those years and getting up and moving around. In a sense, that may be, you know, the dream always refers to the day or two before and what was happening in your life then. And you had this dream last week. So there may have been a...
Yeah.
Yeah, there may have been a period last week where you were thinking about lifting up your roots and moving forward in some way, on.
It's interesting because I'm studying Vedic astrology and I have to get up early in the morning to do that because it's in Greenwich Mean Time, so I have to get up about 3:30 a.m. here to do that. Which the morning that I did that, I had the dream in the morning, but I'd been doing the Vedic astrology. And in Vedic astrology, they call them the grahas, which are the planets. We were doing something about them, and she said, the lecturer said, grahas literally in Sanskrit mean to grab.
Ah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. It's like, and they were sort of out of this world, so it's like maybe it was the planetary deity sort of thing that grabbed me. Because Vedic astrology does actually really grab me. But I was a bit worried about what they were going to do to me. That's the thing that worried me. I thought, I didn't like it being grabbed like that.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But I didn't know whether that was a correlation because I'd just been, you know, a couple of hours before I had this dream in the morning, about 3 hours after I'd done the study.
We're definitely going to bring that in because you called them grayers there.
Grahas. They call them. Yeah, grahas. It's a Sanskrit word for planet.
I mean, it's also a bit like grey nomads.
Yeah, it could be. grandmas too.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. If when you finished studying this this astrology, how is that going to impact on your career or moving ahead? Is there something you might have to leave behind to do that?
Yeah, probably.
And how do you feel about that?
I'm probably a bit scared.
Yeah. Why?
You know, like, it's not that it's if you go out on your own and you take a leap of faith and you've got to still be able to pay the bills and that kind of stuff out there.
And, of course, when you retire, you still have to be able to pay the bills as well.
You do.
And
that can, time just flies these days, doesn't
yeah.
it? Before you know it.
And if you go back to the 1970s and 1980s, around about, you know, the age of the man in the caravan, did being able to pay the bills come to a particular head then?
No. In the 70s, though, we lived in a caravan because, Darwin was devastated by Cyclone Tracy.
Ah, yeah.
We didn't live in a caravan for quite some time because the place was just devastated, and we came back and we lived in a caravan.
Right, okay.
But it wasn't like... Yeah,
it wasn't,
so maybe that could be.
So it's more of a personal symbol to you. And that was Cyclone Tracy, was 1974. So that's right in the middle of this man aged 70 to 80.
Yeah.
Right, so in 1974, you and your family and, you know, a lot of other people in Darwin experienced quite a trauma with Cyclone Tracy.
Yeah.
And in your particular case, because your family lived in a caravan, you actually lost your house and your home.
Yeah, we lost a lot.
Right, okay. You lost your house and your home, a bit like grey nomads kind of give up their house and home and take to the caravan and travel around.
Yeah, this wasn't by choice, though.
No, it wasn't, was it?
It wasn't by choice.
But how old were you then?
9.
You were 9, so it's almost ancient times within you as well, going back.
Yeah.
Okay. So at age 9, you, through your own choice, by acts of God, wind and weather, astrology maybe, suffered great...
An out-of-bound moon,
yeah. suffered great trauma, lost your house and your home and a lot of other things. Did your dad lose his job?
No. We lost all our belongings, though. We lost, because it was Christmas, too. It was on Christmas Eve. So it's pretty surreal to see your Christmas present floating down the hallway.
So it had great fight. It did have financial implications then. It wasn't so much that your dad lost his job, but your family lost...
It would have for mum and dad.
You lost a lot of family possessions and it would have cost a lot of money to get you all back on the road again, so to speak.
Yeah.
And what did you do back then before you got a new caravan? Where did you stay?
We were evacuated. Mm-hmm. While we were in Darwin, we stayed in a warehouse in an industrial area. There was no water, there was no power. Yeah. For about a week.
Yeah. So you were pretty sort of helpless, really.
Absolutely. Mm.
And when you're helpless, it's kind of difficult. I'm coming back to the dream with this feeling of the hands and having your hands tied or grabbed. You know, we need our hands to do stuff.
We do.
You know, and with our we do things with our house, like build new homes, build new roads, build a new life, express ourselves, do things, create, help others. And when you can't use your hands in that way, and that was the focus of the dream, you were trying to express with your hands, trying to push away the caravan, the two black faces, ancient, almost non-human forces stopping you from doing something, the feeling at the end of the dream that I would be raped, which is like I'm going to be, you know, my boundaries violated. Everything that I thought was me is going to be taken away. It's like people are going to enter into everything that's me. Yeah. It's a bit like losing your home.
Yeah. Although, you know, we were just glad to be alive.
Of course you were, yeah. But you had to start all over again.
Yeah.
Now,
all your photos and all of that, you know.
All the personal stuff going, that's a bit like a violation, isn't it? I'm going to jump all over the place here, Carolyn, because I want to come back to the... astrology that you were studying just 3 hours before that dream. And now that we've had this sort of little discussion about, you know, the traumas and acts of God, so to speak, and winds and weather that take away everything for a while, does that relate to the kind of astrology that and phenomena that you were studying that night?
Not really.
So it wasn't about astrology that determines major change or anything?
No, we were discussing what's called your ascendant or your lagna. It's like the beginning. It's like who you are. It's like your incarnation, your fleshly body. So it's in the flesh sort of thing.
So it's about your incarnation, your beginnings and who you are.
Yeah.
So to have a beginning...
But I suppose... The birth, it indicates what was rising on the eastern horizon at the time of your birth.
Okay, so this is...
So it's ancient history.
Yeah, exactly. It relates to your ancient history, what was beginning for you. And when your family went through that trauma with Cyclone Tracy and you lost your house and home and everything, that was a new beginning too.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also said that astrology is about who... What did you say? Not who you really are, but your... What did you say? Your identity, your...
Yeah, like your incarnation... It's the moment of your incarnation. It's like how you approach life. It's your physical body.
Right, okay. And in your dream was about rape, was about the possibility of having your physical body invaded, of having your personality... having everything taken away. So there is a sort of connection there between what you were studying... And then looking at your own life and asking those questions about yourself. What was my incarnation? What was my ascendant?
Yeah.
What am I here to do?
It determines a lot about your life.
Mm. And one of the things that determined a lot about your life was what you experienced when you were nine, even though consciously now you might say, oh yeah, look, they put us in a warehouse and we got on the track and everything was fine. But these traumas can go very, very deep.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that.
Mm. So what, with these two men that are kind of pretty dark in colour as well as ancient, so it's something that is quite difficult to see about yourself. And that's when an interpretation can become quite difficult, because you're opening yourself and trying your best to understand the interpretation, but we're both talking about something that you can hardly see, something that's shadowy and dark.
Yeah.
And in fact, you couldn't even see the face of one of the men. So that's what we're trying to get at, this thing that's just there in the dream and that you're frightened of, and you're frightened of it invading you and taking away violating who you are, changing who you are in a sense, in much the same way as perhaps Cyclone Tracy kind of violated your safety and security and your family's money and sense of being and sense of security. And it ruined Christmas as well, which is very important for a 9-year-old. You know, I mean, but seriously, you know, if you really believe in, I hope there's no 9-year-olds listening, but if you really believe in Santa Claus and all these good things are going to happen, and then somebody blows a bad wind and it all goes away, I mean, do you feel abandoned or do you feel abandoned? You know? So these men were about 30, and 30 years ago was around about 1980. Was there a major change in your life then?
No, just that I left school.
Oh, that's
right.
I suppose
it's fairly major, isn't it?
Yeah, so you left school and that was your turn to follow your incarnation, make your way, find your home, your security, find your caravan or your house that wasn't going to blow away, so to speak. So, you know, that kind of brought up all those issues then. And it's possible that what was happening for you then when you left school is now... there's something about an issue from that those times which is coming up, which came up for you again last week when you had this dream. That feeling of, I'm starting new, I'm finding a new way here, I've got to make things secure and settled. But, God, the thing that I really do not want to face is that feeling of losing everything that we had when I was 9, of losing not only security and stability, but my beliefs in Santa and everything.
Yeah.
Did something come up last week that began to feel that put all those things into context?
Yeah, perhaps with the study, it makes you reflect on your life a little bit, what you've been through and how your family are and how you saw your family, and is that the way that it really was?
Yeah.
Was it a bit different, perhaps?
Yes.
You know, when you're a child, you see things differently, and from hindsight, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose I reflected on that a bit.
And how did that, you know, in the dream, the end result was that your hands were kind of, you couldn't use your hands to express yourself properly.
Yeah.
So when you were thinking through and reflecting on all that last week, how did that affect your thoughts and feelings about how you express yourself in the world?
I suppose it made me a little more circumspect. I don't know, we've all got our own cross to bear, haven't we? In some form or another.
And what's your cross?
Don't know.
So you're
ancient history.
Yeah, it's that ancient history. It's there. You
not a cross. They've just got me by the hand.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask it another way. If last week you could have freed up some area of your life to express yourself or create using your hands, can you think of an area where you would like to have been able to do that?
Lots, I suppose.
Yeah.
Lots, because I'd like to be able to study more, but I just, you know, finding the time. Time management issues.
Time management issues. When you left school, you talked about studying and you'd like to study more and more time. Did you wish that you'd studied more when you left school?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I wish I sort of would have stayed, but I didn't. I didn't finish school. I went straight to, I went to like a community college and did some courses and went out and worked.
Because you felt that stability and money was important to you?
Yeah, I suppose.
Which is
what you did, isn't it? It's what we do.
Well, yeah, and particularly when you come from the kind of background you've had where, you know, you as a 9-year-old lost so much. You know, in Darwin in those years, because so many people suffered that, the kind of community ethos was more get settled, get stable. You know. And so then in 1980 you wished, looking back, that you had studied more, but you didn't. You kind of chose working and money and security instead.
Yeah.
And last week you began to look at that differently. You began to wish, well, maybe I had studied more, or maybe I'd like to study more now.
Yeah, I was thinking about cutting down my hours a little bit at work, or like working 4 days and having a 3 day break.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about maybe doing something, you know, just changing it a bit if I could.
Mm.
Everyone gets sick of work though, don't we?
Oh, yes. But
mundane 9 to 5 if you're not sort of doing what you love.
So what?
If you're doing what you love, it's a breeze.
Yeah.
If you're not, it's a bit trickier, isn't it?
But you'd like to move more towards doing something you love.
Something more creative.
Something more creative, using your hands. And the night before.
Or maybe using. Pardon?
The night before your dream, you were actually doing something you love very much.
Yeah.
This particular type of astrology.
Yeah, it certainly got me. It certainly grabs me, you know.
Mm. But it grabs you in a good way, not like two dark men holding your hands. Yeah.
Not scary at all.
But somewhere.
Mind boggling.
Somewhere deep down inside, there's a scary aspect to it, you know, because when you're awake, you're going, yeah, this grabs me, I've got it. And when you're asleep, it's like this dark side comes up and goes, yeah, grabs you, how? It's going to get you. You know, you believed in Santa Claus when you were 9 and a big wind came and took away your Christmas. How can your hopes and dreams come true?
Yeah.
Who said that you can do what you want to do?
Yeah, that's true. It's a bit like that.
Mm. See, these dark figures in the dream really can be the shadow side. And in your dream, they're ancient. They go back a long, long way in you, you know. And so it's almost like, you know, your dreams.
And there's not one of them, but there's two.
There's
of them.
Two, yeah. One for each hand. You don't get away with either hand.
You might
not be handled with one hand, but you've got both taken away there.
Yeah.
And it really was, you know, that feeling of, I don't want this caravan in my life. Stop, go away. That's the beginning of the dream, is I don't want a return of this losing my house and home. I don't want a return of all my Christmases disappearing. I don't want a return of losing Santa and God or whoever.
Yeah.
You know?
Sort of sad, yeah. I suppose, I was just trying to think, I suppose I did believe in Santa then.
Mm.
And maybe a bit disappointed with God, perhaps, you know, because it was a pretty scary experience.
Yeah.
One you don't easily forget, I suppose.
And your unconscious mind doesn't forget until you train it to see life differently.
Yeah.
So there's a part of you deep down inside that although consciously you went, yes, this astrology grabs me. This, you know, I am an astrologer. I know you're an astrologer because you told me. I am an astrologer and I've now found a branch that I really, really, really like. This grabs me. I want to do this. And your unconscious mind has gone, yeah. But maybe it'll blow away. Maybe God will blow it away. Yeah. Maybe Santa doesn't exist. Maybe it'll all be taken away from you. Maybe you can't do what you want. Maybe you have to work for security and for money. Maybe it'll be like 1980, you know, because this man is 70 or 80 years old. Mm. And maybe, you know, in the dream you're going, stop, I don't want that trauma in my life. But it stops, but it doesn't actually go away.
No, don't come. You can't
that's
come.
Right.
Go away.
Don't ruin it.
And I didn't know why.
No.
I didn't know why. I thought, I wonder why, but I didn't like it. No, I didn't like it at all.
You see, that's why you didn't know what it was, because it was unconscious. Your unconscious was going, this is Cyclone Tracy. This is taking away your home, Carolyn. It's not. This is the it's the fear of it. No, it's not. It's the memory. It's the fear of it. Because you sort of didn't recognize that the dream. It was an old caravan in the dream. He was an old man. This is old stuff, old memories. Just when you think something's going to get really good, that you think, yes, I can do this. This is something I can do with my hands. I'm really excited about it. This grabs me. Your unconscious mind goes, yeah, but you know how things go.
Yeah.
And then you get the two dark men really like, you know how things go. This can really, you know, take away everything. This can violate all your ideas. This can be the same as taking away your home, your body. Rape is maybe a bit like losing your home when you're 9, like you're losing the shell of your safety.
Everything.
Which
you lose just everything. Everything is gone.
And in your dream.
Even your school and your school friends, and you have to just like, the slate's wiped clean.
That's right. And when the slate's wiped clean, you have an opportunity for new beginnings, which is also what you were studying in the astrology, which is why you were looking at it. And the two dark men in your dream that you can sort of see but not see, sort of human but not human, so ancient, is what you can't quite see in your unconscious mind that is holding your hands and threatening to violate everything.
Mm.
It's the return of Cyclone Tracy fear. Now, you and I both know consciously and rationally that Cyclone Tracy's long gone. You have presumably found your own home and your own security and earned your own money. I mean, you've just told us you've got a job. You know, you've got all those things now. That's not going to happen again. But your unconscious mind is still
feeling in the tropics. It might want to take
your unconscious mind still. Yeah, exactly. You see, there are other people in the tropics that wouldn't say that.
Pardon?
There are other people in the tropics that wouldn't refer to that. Wouldn't say, yeah, well, it might happen again.
No, they probably wouldn't.
No,
but they're the ones that might get blown away next.
Carolyn, I think it's time for you to. However you do,
move from the tropics.
Well, you said it, not me. Do the reverse grey nomad trip. Hey?
Yeah, exactly.
Damn all these grey nomads! I am out of here. Yeah, I'm going the other direction. I'm moving away. Hey, if that's what it takes to get rid of the fear, do it. You know, but actually, Dream Alchemy can get rid of the fear instead, and you don't actually have to move from a place that you love. Okay, so this
moving is a trauma.
Yes, it is. And you know that. Moving's a trauma. There you go. You're telling us all. There are people out there that would be going, no, I love moving. But in your...
No, I thought a lot of people said like it was like one of the traumas in your life.
Yeah.
I know. I heard it somewhere.
Yeah, it is sort of in that big list, isn't it?
Is it standard list of traumas.
Yeah, that moving house is worse than... losing a loved one or a divorce or something. Okay, what we've got here is a dream that came up the night after you got really excited and passionate about something that, and you literally said to yourself, this really grabs me. I would like to do this. I would like to use my hands to create myself in this, create my work in this way. This is what I would really like to do. And your dreaming brain said, yeah, look, unconscious mind doesn't really agree with that. Because we've, you know, got past ancient history here that, although it's difficult for you to see because it's very dark, it's very deep, it's something you haven't really want to look at. But what it's done is tended to, stop you from using your hands. So what we really want to do is you'll come up with, wonderful, rational and executable plans, like maybe I can cut back on my working week to 4 days or 3 days and do my other astrology. You know, you can come up with plans like that you can do, which I'm sure will work. But you'd still need to have your unconscious mind on side here. You want your unconscious mind to say, yes, your hands are free to be grabbed by whatever your passion, and your hands are free to express yourself and create whatever you desire. Nothing bad's going to happen here. So, you know, that's really where I'd like to come in at the Dream Alchemy, if that makes sense to you and if that's where you'd like to go.
It does, Jane.
Okay, so my feeling at the moment is a visualization. Are you good at visualizing? Is this going to work for you? Okay.
I'll have a go.
My feeling...
I wouldn't say I'm the world's greatest visualizer, but...
Okay, would you rather work with words, like if I give you an affirmation, a Dream Alchemy affirmation?
No, I think I prefer the visualization because I've sort of got the vision of them grabbing me in my head.
In your head? Oh, yeah, you've got the vision in your head. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we're going to go for that then. So I'll just run it past you and then we'll get it right. So I'm thinking something like we start the dream and you see the caravan, but it drives on past your house, and as it drives past, it actually becomes a modern vehicle and drives off on its way. It's just a grey nomad, and you wave goodbye to it. Like, phew, thought that was close, but that was nothing. And what we do by that is transform the old fear of Cyclone Tracy into something that's never going to come back again. So we'll do that, and then we'll have these two black men still appear, but as they appear... to turn them into loving energies which feel good to you. So you mentioned astrological deities earlier. I don't know whether that would be a suitable loving entity, would it? Or would you rather have like an angel or a...
Well, no, I sort of like, because I've thought about the dream a bit, and because in the Vedic astrology too, they describe Saturn as a dark-skinned man.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a taskmaster, you know. He's the one that makes you do all the hard, yucky work.
Yeah.
He's the one that won't let you out of a situation until you've sort of cleaned it up. And so, yeah, I need to sort of transform that aspect, I suppose.
So what kind of entity would...
From being a taskmaster and a real grind into having, I don't know, a bit of support from nature.
Nature, okay. So what kind of nature entity might you have in place of these two men?
Yeah, good question.
Have you got something that springs to mind?
Birds.
Birds, okay.
Birds.
What kind of birds?
Parrots. I like parrots.
You like...
There's a lot around at the moment. Yeah,
Okay, that's beautiful. Now, parrots are good because there are so many colours there, you know.
Yeah.
And what you're going to do by following this Vedic astrology is actually bring colour into people's lives as well as your own.
Yeah.
You're going to bring the full spectrum in. So I'm thinking we wave goodbye to the caravan, we transform the caravan into a...
Yeah, that's turned into a modern grey nomad.
A modern grey nomad.
Driving out the
yeah,
driveway.
Great. And then yeah. What's coming towards you are two beautiful parrots. And they fly yeah. towards you and you open your hands and in your hands is little seeds for the parrots to eat.
Okay.
And they eat the seeds. And in return, because they're so grateful for what you fed them, they encase your hands in a beautiful white light. And that is the power of the Vedic astrology.
Hmm.
And with that power, you can do anything you want to do with your hands because we've transformed the demon of the Cyclone Tracy and all those things about the hard taskmaster and all the fear. So would that work for you if we just run that past in a more... Does that feel good?
Can we just have the parrots on the black man's shoulder or something and they fly over and they don't grab me? Or can... Because it's like...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so the parrots appear on the black man's shoulders. The black man just stand there. The parrot...
Yeah, they don't sort of grab me.
No.
They just let the parrots come.
They feel good. So the gift of the parrots comes from the black... No, that's great because, you know, because the black man are your shadow side, they're deep inside you, so out of this is coming the colour and the light.
Yeah.
And you...
There's the transformation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you still want them to take the seed from your hand in return for the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carolyn, this is your visualisation. You're back in the dream.
Thanks, Jane.
You see the caravan coming along, but, oh, look, grey nomads, and, oh, funnily, that caravan is a really ultra-modern, huge, grey nomado
yeah.
bill. And they...
One of those four-wheel drives coming out of flash caravan.
There you go. And they're waving at you and you wave them on the journey and everybody's happy. You're off, oh, phew. They're on their
yeah.
way. They're moving ahead to, you know, greater things. They're having a fantastic time.
Yeah.
And, hey, they're rich grey nomads, these ones. Money's not an issue to them.
they're comfortable.
And they've got a multi-million dollar mansion and or two around the place as well. This is just their holidays. So you wave them goodbye. And then you see the two black men. And they're standing
yeah.
very still. And as they're standing, you realise each one has a very colourful parrot on their shoulder, and the parrots fly towards you, and you open your hands, and in each hand
yeah.
is a seed, and each parrot comes to each hand, takes a seed, and in gratitude leaves you with a blessing of shining white light from your hands. And as you stand there in the visualization, feeling the shining white light in your hands, you know that this is the power of the Vedic astrology that really grabs you. This is what you're going to move ahead and do beautifully, extensively, abundantly, because this is your incarnation.
That's lovely.
That feel good?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so as per the formula... you know, when you do that, make
yep.
sure you've got all the emotions of how you now intend to move forward in your life.
Yeah.
And I think for this one, do it 20 times a day for a
yep.
week. Do it 10 times a day for the second week. And then
yep.
just twice a day, night and morning after that.
Okay.
How do you feel now?
Yeah, much happier.
Mm.
Not as scared.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's quite irrational scaredness, isn't it, sometimes?
It's definitely irrational. You know, and it's why fear will often appear quite dark in a dream, because we just can't see it clearly, yet it has such a hold. Mm. And the moment you throw light on it and acknowledge it and transform it, it just, you know, even just in one visualization there, something shifts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Carolyn, thank you for sharing that very short dream with very deep meaning with us all tonight.
Thank you very much, Jane Teresa. You're a real legend at this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was lovely to have you on the show. And so we got there. And I think you can probably now see where the benefit of having a phone consultation over an email consultation is. In an email consultation, you go back and forth for some time, you know, what does this caravan mean to you? Go back and forth in a phone conversation. You can hammer it home pretty quickly. I'm going to tell you the PS that Carolyn mentioned to me as soon as we stopped recording. But first of all, I just want to tie that one up a little bit more by saying, can you see how when you have a dark character, or as Carolyn saw them, two black men in the dream, you're really dealing with something that is difficult for you to see. You know, you're really dealing with deep unconscious, and in Carolyn's case, deeply traumatic stuff. And when it's that traumatic, it can come up in a dream as something that's dark, a black man or woman, something that's difficult to see. And because it's so dark, and because it's so buried, and because it's so difficult, and because it's so traumatic, it can take a time to really get the dreamer to connect with the interpretation of the dream. And I think that was beautifully illustrated there with my conversation with Carolyn, where we kept walking around and walking around the subject until she finally was able to see enough to go, yes, yes, I can relate to that. You know, it's a process of, when you have a dream like that interpreted, it's a process of having the consultant, you know, i.e. me, helping to open and open and open your eyes gently and persistently until suddenly, yes, I've got it. I can see that. So, I think, you know, it was a long interpretation, but I'd like, you know, we haven't edited anything. You know, this is episode 62 and we keep saying, oh, one day we might get a long interpretation and we might edit something out. We haven't done it yet. And I did at the end of that one think maybe it's a bit long, maybe we should edit it down. But we decided to leave the whole thing in because it really illustrates that process of walking around a dark, difficult, traumatic subject until the dreamer finally feels safe really to connect to it. And I think that was a great demonstration of that. So thanks for staying in for that. Now, okay, the PS, as soon as we got off the phone, I was talking to Carolyn and saying, oh, you must be really passionate about this Vedic astrology. It must be, you know, really grabbing at you. You know, how did you get into it? And she said, well, I started with Western astrology. She said, it's actually quite interesting. When I was 30, I decided, right, that's it. I'm going to study Western astrology. And I said, Carolyn, when you were 30, didn't I ask you the question in the interpretation? Did anything happen when you were 30? Did anything new happen, like a new job or a new start? She went, oh, yes. Fancy that. When I was 30, she said, tell them this is a PS. When I was 30, I got serious about studying Western astrology. And in fact, she said it was so serious that what she did to enable her to do it was give up smoking. She said, if I give up smoking, I can use the money that I would use to pay for my cigarettes to pay for my astrology courses. So there again, you've got a connection between what she can afford to do, between earning money, between stability and all those issues, which were issues for Carolyn, you know, when she was 9 and the family lost their home. And security became a big issue. And as Carolyn also said during the discussion there, you know, she's contemplating maybe giving away her 5-day-a-week job and taking it down to 4 days or 3 days so that she can work with Vedic astrology. And in a way, that's shadowing her decision when she was 30 to give away something that was, which was her cigarette smoking, to free up the money. So in other words, she didn't need as much money, I guess, from her job to, you know, to do nowadays, to do the astrology. You know what I'm saying here. So that's Carolyn. Now, we're now moving to Tanya's question. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, Tanya put in this question. So I'm going to read out the full question now and then give the answer. So Tanya's question was, although people in our dreams represent parts of ourselves, can they also represent themselves in real life? And she said, this is the context. I have had the experience of dreaming of an eagle and waking up and thinking that this dream was about a friend of mine, but I couldn't see where he was in the dream. It was just something about the eagle that made her think, oh, this must be about so-and-so. So she woke up from the dream, and then I'm still reading from her email again now. She said, I later told him about the dream, but didn't mention that I thought he was in the dream. And he said, you must have been dreaming about me, because at work they call me the eagle. And they've called me the eagle for years, because I'm eagle-eyed and nothing passes me by. So she says, at that time, I knew nearly nothing of his waking life or his adult friendships, as although we'd been closely connected since childhood, we'd seen little of each other and lived in different states as adults. I'd certainly never heard of his work nickname, and this was very different to the nicknames I'd known him by. So what does it mean? So although Tanya says there that she had lost connection with what he was doing at work or who his adult friendships were, she did say that they'd been closely connected since early childhood, and she obviously still was connected enough with him to contact him after the dream and just be talking about the dream. So the relationship was still there. And this is the angle I'm coming in on, really, because he said that, you know, for many years at work, they've called him Eagle because he's eagle-eyed and he never misses a thing. Now, these kind of personality traits we tend to have from childhood. So it's very possible that when Tanya and he knew each other as children, that she noticed that he was eagle-eyed, never missed a thing, you know? So it's an outside chance, but it's possible that she already, you know, when you think of friends that you have, you probably don't realize, but you probably associate certain traits with them, maybe even see people as, oh, he's a bit of a fox, or she's a bit of a parrot, you know, broken record, or he's a bit eagle-eyed, you know, doesn't miss a thing. And so it's possible that Tanya, and I'm talking to you now, Tanya, because I know you're listening, that Tanya, when you had this dream, you might have been dreaming about something in your life where you needed to be eagle-eyed, where you needed to, where nothing passes you by, or where that was an issue for you, and so you dreamed of an eagle. And then when you woke up, you thought, ah, something about that dream just reminds me of this friend of mine. And the reason why it reminded you of that friend was because, well, you know, it reminded you of how you saw him when he was younger. So I still firmly believe that in 99.99% of our dreams, when we dream of someone else, they represent parts of ourselves. So it's possible, Tanya, that your dream of this eagle was really dreaming about the eagle-eyed aspect of yourself, or an issue in life where, you know, it came up that it was important to not miss anything out, you know, to be eagle-eyed. And then we wake up and we think that we've dreamed about other people, but when we really think about it, we've really dreamed about these people because they remind us of ourselves. However, I said 99.99%, and there are those odd dreams occasionally where we absolutely do seem to tune into what's happening for other people while we're asleep and incorporate bits of their lives, and that which we then later on find out to be true. And I mean, you know, hey, I was trained as a scientist and this has happened to me on many occasions, so I can verify this too. You know, in my own case, I would write down the dreams and then later be able to correlate details. So it does happen in a kind of telepathic way. But I do have to say that even those dreams, even when it does happen and you seem to tune into what is happening for someone else and the details are all there, amazingly, if you then interpret that dream as that person being an aspect of yourself, it also makes sense. And what I have always drawn from that is that when we do tune into other people, it's because they resonate with what's going on for us. Just in the same way, Tanya, as it may be that you resonated with your eagle-eyed friend because being eagle-eyed was an issue for you at the time of the dream. And as with all these issues, I do have to put out a heartfelt plea to everybody listening in that please remember that common dreams, common symbolic dreams include dreams of death of people that we know, dreams of people that we know doing awful things to us or saying awful things about us. And we are so not tuning into them when we have these dreams. These dreams are dreaming about these people as aspects of ourselves. And, you know, I'd really hate the thought that we go forth thinking, well, maybe that dream was one of the 0.00% of dreams where I was tuned into what was happening for someone else. Think, apply it to yourself. Yeah, phone up, check the person's okay. And then remember, take a deep breath, remember that, you know, all dreams are about ourselves. And only a very tiny, weeny percentage of those are also about other people. So, Tanya, I hope I've thrown some light on that for you. And everyone else, this has been a marathon podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm sure you've got lots of dream interpretation tips and lots and lots and lots of food for thought, and that you've shared and empathized with Carolyn's situation and been able to perhaps resonate with similar things in your life and take light and hope and insight from that. I have to say, because I always do, if you like more information, go to my website, www.dream.net.au, for lots of free information and or to find out details about how you can consult me privately and go into all the kind of detail that we did with Carolyn there on your own in an exclusive phone or Skype call or by email. And also, of course, there's my blog, www.janetheresa.com. And there's increasingly more and more happening on Facebook. So find me there if Facebook is your thing. And I'm pretty tired after this long chat. So I'm going off to sleep and I'm hoping for some really lovely, uplifting dreams. And I wish them for you too. Many blessings to you all. And I'll catch you for another episode of The Dream Show next week, next Friday. Thank you. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.